A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all, according to each one's need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. And let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of this victory in the tents of the just.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Give thanks to the Lord, he is good. The love of the Lord knows no ending. Sons of Israel, say, his love has no end.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. I don't think I have to tell you that the federal tax deadline's this week, right? Those of you who are anxiously waiting your refund, you know you can't get a refund if you don't file your taxes. Okay, for those of you maybe who, you know, aren't expecting a refund, let me give you another sort of similar thing. Suppose there was somebody who was the richest person in the world, 10 times wealthier than Bill Gates, okay? And this person suddenly decided he was going to give anybody who asked $10,000. But you had to ask for it, or you wouldn't get it. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you ask for it? That is the same dynamic that is at play in God's offer of mercy to us. He knows we need mercy. He knows we want mercy. But he has told us we have to ask for it to receive it. You heard Father announce, this is Divine Mercy Sunday. This feast was established by Pope St. John Paul II, inspired by the writings of St. Faustina Kowalska, a Polish nun who experienced extraordinary visions and messages from Jesus Christ about divine mercy. We have this wonderful poster, an image that she described and asked an artist to create of our Lord standing there, waving to people, beckoning them to come, pointing to his heart, the source of that divine mercy. Two beams of light display, you know, God's mercy going out from him, sort of recalling the blood and water that flowed from his side. And down at the bottom, in case some of you can't read it because the ambo's in the way, it says, Jesus, I trust in you. That trust is in the mercy, the divine mercy that is there for the asking while there is still time. In some of the visions that Faustina had, Jesus is sad. She asked him, why are you so sad? He says, because people are not taking advantage of my divine mercy that I offer them infinitely. As people of faith, we believe that Jesus' paschal sacrifice, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, was the means by which he purchased our eternal salvation. And he offers it to us as a gift. But it's up to each one of us to ask for it, to accept it, to take it into our hearts and reform our lives because of it. Each of our readings that we've just heard all speak to this quite eloquently. The psalm which we all sang together, the author of that psalm proclaims, God's mercy is everlasting. Sons of Israel, bless the Lord, his mercy endures forever. This is a guy who was thoroughly happy for the forgiveness of his own sins, for the restoration of his own life. Our second reading, St. Paul, speaks of the hope given to us through Christ's resurrection, calling it the inheritance that he has left us when he ascended back to the Father. And our gospel passage shows what we call the institution of the sacrament of confession, when Jesus breathed upon the apostles and gave them his authority to forgive sins. Jesus set up the church to be the dispenser of his mercy in the world, if only we will ask for it. But so many people object to the sacrament of confession. They say, why should I go talk to a man when I could talk just straight to God? They claim no man can forgive them. They won't confess to anybody but God. Despite the clear scriptural commissioning we just heard in our gospel today, that's the way he set it up to be. Interestingly, we see Thomas, good old doubting Thomas, right? Thomas isn't going to believe Jesus was alive, right? Wasn't going to believe anything until he could feel him, touch him, right? It's because Thomas is a human being, like all of us. It's the basis of all of our sacraments because of our human nature, okay? We're not just bodies like the animals. We are not spirits like the angels. We are a unique combination of body and spirit. And so we have to feel that physical effect to know that it's having an effect spiritually. We have a person who's waiting to be baptized today after Mass. The word baptism in Greek means taking a bath. Okay, so when you take that bath and feel the physical dirt running off of you, so too is the dirt of sin clearing you. In the sacrament of confession, what happens? You go in, you speak your words asking for repentance, asking for forgiveness, touting your repentance for your sins. And then you hear the words of absolution come to you. You may hear a voice that sounds like the priest that's in there, but the priest is just the instrument from God through the priest to you. It is God who is forgiving you. Because you've heard the words, because you've touched the wounds of Jesus like Thomas, you know that it's real. Because we are a body and soul, and what happens in the sacraments to our bodies happens to us in our souls. And so when we feel forgiven, we feel the joy, that same joy that the psalmist spoke of, the same joy that helps us to more easily forgive other people and then become dispensers of God's mercy in the world. Little sources of it, little lights of Jesus in the world. We would be living in a community like the idealized Christian community described in our first reading, where they forgave each other their slights, they helped each other, they shared in common. Imagine what a different world we would live in today if we could all just ask for God's mercy and then spread it along. The internet would certainly be a friendlier place. You wouldn't have all this arguing back and forth and this, gotcha, got revenge for that one, got revenge for that one. It could be a truly place of learning. Think of these mass shooters that have been in the news lately. These are people who are so hurt inside, so disturbed, that they want to leave this world, but they want to leave it in a big way, and they want to take anybody out with them instead of seeking God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Wanting to make everyone else miserable and taking them down with them is Satan's way. When Satan and the fallen angels made their definitive choice against God, when they broke off, they were condemned to eternal misery. And that is why they want to bring down every soul they possibly can. That is why Satan, as we say, prowls around the world seeking the ruin of souls. Unless those souls take advantage of God's divine mercy. So let's remember that God's mercy is ours for the asking, but we must ask because he asked us to ask. Jesus said, pray for whatever you want from my Father and it will be given to you in my name. Yes, the Father knows what we want. Yes, the Father knows what we need, but he wants us to acknowledge that ourselves in asking. And let's also remember, we don't have to ask for it just for ourselves. We can ask for it for other people. We can ask for it for our friends. When our friends ask us to pray for them, we can pray for them. We can pray for people who don't ask us to pray for them. Everybody has friends or family members who've fallen away from the faith, who don't want to come back. We can pray for God's mercy on them. We can stand, as it were, a proxy for them. We can seek indulgences for them. We can pray for the souls in purgatory to ease their suffering until they can be with the Lord in heaven. Saint Faustina, in her visions, reminds us that such prayers please Jesus. He loves it greatly. He loves to dispense his mercy, and he wants to dispense his mercy while there is still time. Now, St. Faustina recorded many, many other visions, many mystical experiences of Jesus. She especially was fond of what we call redemptive suffering. Right? You remember when you were a kid, and you hurt yourself and the nuns would say, offer it up? That's what we mean. When there is some pain in your life, while you're going through it, don't let that pain be wasted. Offer it to Jesus on the cross. Unite it with his, like St. Paul says, filling up the sufferings of Christ on the cross. You can help Jesus dispense his divine mercy that way. You can join with him mystically. Don't think you're not mystics. When you are in good graces with the church and you come up here to receive Jesus, you are having a mystical experience. Your body and soul are uniting with the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist. He's there for you. He wants to dispense his divine mercy. Now, as I started out with, everyone knows the deadline for filing your taxes. It's a known date. It's a known time. The deadline for asking for God's mercy is the moment of your last breath. It's a time that is known only to God. Please, don't miss the deadline. God love you.